Noach ish tzaddik. Noach was a righteous man. Tomim hoya b'derosof. He was perfect in his generations. Es alakim es alach Noach. And Noach walked with Hashem. He walked with Hashem. So we see over here this pasuk describing Noach as being a very, very righteous, outstanding individual. He was someone who was righteous, perfect in his generation. With Hashem, he walked. And the question is, or the point which Rashi and the Medrash talk about, is when it says that he was perfect in his generation. Mm-hmm. In his generation, what does that mean? What's the emphasis on the generation? So Rashi says, it's a very famous Medrash, that in his generation, he was very, very good. Because of the corruption of the generation he was in. So in his generation, in contrast to the generation he was living in, he was a very, very good man, a very righteous person, a very perfect individual. But had he been in the generation of like Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't have been as great as he is. He would not have been as great because he would have been surpassed by people like Avraham Avinu. So in this sense, the word in his generation is darshan, is expounded leganai, for a little bit of disgrace or not so praiseworthy, because only in his generation was he righteous, but not in the generation of Avraham. But then the other rabbis say that no, we darshan it l'shvach, we darshan it for his praise. In his generation, he was righteous, because if he was in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he would have been even more righteous. He would have been propelled even more so and elevated even more to be even more righteous in the generation of Avraham Avinu. That's the famous machlokas, the famous discussion about this expression, in his generation. Was it to his shvach, to his praise, or to his ganai, to his criticism? However, if you look at the word, bederosov, there's a nuance in the word. In the translation even, it says perfect in his generations, plural, in his generations. Bederosov in his generations. What does that mean? He was perfect in his generations, plural. So that's our segue into the Medrash for today. Mm-hmm. For those of you who brought the big Medrash with you, one person. Parsha 26 or chapter 26. This Medrash is actually found in last week's portion, because the story of Noach began at the end of last week's portion. Mm-hmm. Noach first appears on the scene at the end of Parshas Bereishis. So this Medrash over here is Parsha Chof Vav, Parsha 26, and Medrash number 1. So the Medrash is going to talk about what it means by in his generations. Like, what is the generation? What's the plural of the generations? So as is the way of the Medrash always takes a pasuk somewhere else in Navi and elaborates on that pasuk and then connects that pasuk to this parsha over here. So this pasuk, which is going to analyze, is the very, very, very first pasuk, the very first few pasukim of Sefer Tehillim. So that's our pasuk, or that's the connecting pasuk to Parshas Noach this week, this year.
What's the translation for Tehillim?
Tehillim, Psalms. So the Medrash connects the Parsha of Noach to the first parak, the first few psukim of Sefer Tehillim. And it begins, Sefer Tehillim begins, chapter 1, verse 1 of Tehillim of Psalms, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach bi'atzis rishayim. Praiseworthy is the individual that has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. Praiseworthy is the individual who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. So this pasuk, these psukim unto themselves are just very, very inspiring psukim. I'll read through the verses, the first few verses of the chapter. Fortunate is the individual who has not walked among the counsel of the wicked. Ubederach hatoyim lo amad. And on the path of sinners, he hasn't stood. It's described, David HaMelech is describing the picture of the righteous man. The picture of the righteous man, that he doesn't hang around with immoral, unethical people. He finds the right type of saviva, the right type of environment to spend his life with. He doesn't walk among the counsel of the wicked, the gathering of the wicked. He doesn't walk on the path, that stand on the path of sinners. For Moshev Leitzim, Lo Yoshev, he doesn't sit among scoffers. What does he do instead with his time? Kiyim b'toras Hashem chefzo. His entire desire is the Torah of Hashem. Upa terasa yaga yom v'layla. And in his Torah, he meditates day and night. This is the picture of the righteous man that David HaMelech is describing. He spends his time learning. He spends his time meditating in Torah. As a result of that, this individual, he's like a tree planted on the side of streams of water. That he flourishes, he gives off fruit in its proper time. Its leaves, the leaves of the tree don't wither away. Whatever he does is found with success. That's the picture of the righteous person. It's a very beautiful, just inspiring beginning of Tehillim, right? The very first Tehillim, first chapter of Tehillim. The first few psukim, the first few verses of Tehillim, describing what it means to be a righteous person. But the Medrash says this is a snapshot of Noach and his lifetime. The Medrash says this is Noach. The Medrash says the Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy is the individual, is an allusion to Noach, because Noach was a righteous person. He was a righteous person in his generations, because the Medrash goes on. Because if you look at the Psukim there, and you see the description of the types of immoral environment and groups that David HaMelech is saying a righteous person stays away from, there are actually three groups over there. Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the individual, Noach, Asher Lo Holach B'Yatzes Rishayim, who didn't walk among Rishayim, among the wicked. He didn't walk among the wicked. He didn't stand upon the path of sinners, and he also didn't sit among scoffers. Three groups: sinners, wicked, and scoffers. And who are these three groups? The door of Enosh, the generation of Enosh, the generation of the flood, and the generation of the Haflogger of the Tower of Babel. The three generations. The Medrash says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says, when it says that he didn't walk in the council of the Rishayim, Dor Enosh, this is the generation of Enosh. Now, Enosh was way back at the beginning of Bereishis. Now, it's very important to understand, you know, Enosh, who Enosh was, and what the generation was about, because it's a little bit of a less known generation of wickedness. But the Rambam says, the very famous Rambam says, this describes the advent and the emergence of Avodah Zarah in the world, of idolatry in the world. Just read to you what it says from the Rambam. It's a B'mei Enosh, in the days of Enosh, Tov B'nei Adam, Toz Gadol. People made a tremendous mistake. For Enosh Atzmo Min Hatom Hayo. Enosh was one of the people who made a mistake. And the mistake is that they said, Hol Velakim Baruch Hachavim. If Hashem made the stars and he made the planets and he made all of the celestial bodies and he made them, then they deserve honor as well. They deserve honor. And if Hashem made them, then we have to honor them. We have to give honor to them. And therefore, by giving honor to them, that led to Avodah Zarah, to idolatry. So basically, he goes through the whole sequence of the emergence of idolatry because of the mistake that they made. Because if Hashem made these tremendous bodies in the sky and the heavens, the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars, and these are the ministers of God in the sky, so then in the same ways you give honor to a minister, you give honor to the cabinet of the king, you have to give honor to them as well. And they started, you know, giving honor to those celestial bodies, which then led to Avodah Zarah. So that was the emergence of Avodah. So Avodah Zarah, idolatry, began in the days of Enosh. And that's the first group that the Medrash is referring to, or the Pasuk is referring to, alluding to, that Noach did not learn from the ways of the dead generation of Enosh. He wasn't influenced by the idolatry of the generation of Enosh. The second group the Pasuk refers to is Derech HaTayim Lo'amad. He didn't stand on the path of sinners, of the Mabel. Zed Dora Mabel, this is the generation of the flood. And the third one is, he didn't sit among scoffers, is the generation of the door of Dora Flaga, which is the generation of the Tower of Babel, scoffers. Now, the Medrash doesn't explain exactly how they're scoffers and how they, you know, the different descriptions of wicked and sinners, etc., as those words apply to those three different generations. It just says that these are the three generations that Noah lived through, each one with their own problems. Dor Mabel, right? The Dor Mabel, we'll get into it in a second, exactly what the corruption of these different generations were. But their corruption was not an influence upon Noah, and he stood and he was able to protect himself from the influences of these three generations. And these are the three generations. That's what's alluded to in the Pasuk, that he was righteous in his, despite the corruption and the immoral corruption of these three generations, Noah stood tall, he was a tzaddik, he was righteous in his generations. It's interesting, actually, because the Medrash I'm reading from him cites a machlokas between Yehuda and Nehemiah. Yehuda says it's three generations that lived through and he wasn't affected by those three generations. Rabbi Nehemiah said it's only two, because the door of Enosh can't be counted. The generation of Enosh can't be counted because Noah was a minor then. He was only a kid in that generation, so we can't really count that. This obviously points to the how many years that Noah lived for, hundreds and hundreds of years. He lived through these generations, but in the generation of Enosh, he was still a kid. So therefore, Nehemiah doesn't count that as one of the generations which he lived in, but Yehuda does, and that's what we're going to focus on, those three generations. So they're the three generations. So he was righteous. He was righteous in those generations. Exactly what is the sin? What was the sin of these three generations? We already mentioned Enosh, the generation of Enosh. That was idolatry. Idolatry. Mm-hmm. What was the sin of the generation of the Mabel, of the flood? So this is well known. They committed many, and it's true, there's sources which say that the generation of the flood were guilty of the three cardinal sins, all three cardinal sins. But many commentators really map specifically one of those three cardinal sins to each one of those three generations. So the generation of Enosh is associated with idolatry, one of the three cardinal sins. The Mabel, the generation of the flood, the primary sin then, in that generation, was they corrupted their way. Immorality, sexual immorality. That was the primary sin of the generation of the Mabel, of the flood, immorality. And the generation of the Hafloga is the last generation of the Tara Bavel. So this is a little bit more, I'm quoting this, by the way, from the Sefer Shem Mishmul, a very famous Hasidic commentary. The Sokachov Rebbe, Sheim Mishmul. So he explains, elaborates on how the generation of the dispersion, and they built the Tower of Bavel in that generation. So the primary sin that they were guilty of was murder. So he cites sources. He explains. I'm not going to get into it right now. But that's the primary sin of the generation of the dispersion of the Tower of Bavel, of murder. Bloodshed. So we have the three cardinal sins which are being represented by these three generations that Noah was immune to. So really is forming a picture over here, because these are the three cardinal sins that we have to really ward ourselves away from in life and society. The first generation of the of Enosh, Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Second generation is immorality, generation of the flood. And the third generation is the generation of the dispersion of the Tower of Bavel, which is idolatry, which is murder, bloodshed. And Noah was immune to all of these three generations. And this is a good opportunity to remind ourselves again that the three cardinal sins in their external manifestation of idolatry, bloodshed, and immorality, they stem from the three root traits, the three root corrupt midos of a person. Kina, Tivrin, Kovet, right? We've spoken about this a lot. Jealousy, desire, passion and desire, and the pursuit of honor, of Kovet, of ego. They're the three root sins, the three root midos. And if you think about them, each one of them, they all map to those behaviors. They all manifest themselves in those three types of external sins. So kina is jealousy. So jealousy leads to bloodshed, because you're jealous, you want to kill. So that leads to bloodshed, and that was the stain of the last generation, the Dor HaFlog, the generation of the dispersion. Taiva, desire, passion, and lust leads to what? It leads to immorality, plain and simple, immorality, immoral relationships. Kina, taiva, and kovod. This is very interesting, because kovod is ego, right? Is ego, is being full of oneself, is ego. So the Sfarim say that ego manifests itself in Avodah Zarah, in idolatry. Now, if you define idolatry as being, worshipping oneself, then that's ego. That's one and the same thing as ego, that my ego is so inflated that I start worshipping myself. What's intriguing is that, if we're saying that each of these three generations represented and embodied each of these three sins, then the first one, the generation of Enosh, which is idolatry, is really stemming from ego. Which is intriguing, because why would egocentrism right? Why would that manifest itself in now worshiping another idol? It seems to be contradictory. My ego shouldn't lead me to start worshiping something. On the contrary, I'm not going to worship something. If I'm egocentric and I'm full of myself, why would I go ahead and create an idol? Why would I go ahead and create a god? I mean, Avodah Zarah is essentially switching out God for some other false god. So how does that correlate with the ego, with this desire for ego?
If you have a great ego, you're not going to need God.
You're not going to assign another God. You're not going to now create an Avodah Zarah around. You're right. Ego is I'm full of myself, and therefore I make myself a God. I understand that. That's ego, right? And I reject God, and I take God out of the picture. But if the generation of Enosh was a generation which started worshiping idols, they're worshiping the sun and the moon and etc. How does that correlate with an inflated ego? I don't want to have any gods. I don't want to have any powers in my life. So I was thinking about this morning, just a thought I had that maybe this is the explanation. You see, when I'm full of myself, when I have an ego, I'm full of myself, and I'm in charge. So there's perhaps a psychological need to try to kind of create something which represents myself. In other words, perhaps I'm not giving a definitive answer to this. I was just thinking we can think about this after, talk about it afterwards. But perhaps the concept of idolatry is creating some type of physical object which really unconsciously is really a representation of myself. Because creating an idol, right? Creating some kind of source or some kind of entity of worship, the only way that you can create an entity of worship or you can have an entity of worship is if that entity of worship commanded us to worship it. So Hashem is the true God because he commanded it. He commanded us to worship it. At Sinai, he manifested himself. But the stars and the moon and all the different getchkas and all the different idols which man creates, they didn't come along and say, I'm God, I'm the creator. Who made them the idol? People made them the idols. People created these things and decided that these things are some type of deity. They're creating it. Where's that coming from? So maybe there's some kind of like unconscious kind of like, you know, psychology going on. That my ego, my inflated self, sense of self, my ego, which is what idolatry stems from, it's ego, maybe now attempts to try to create something in order to be the manifestation or the embodiment of my own ego. So I don't know. We have to think about that more. But let projection. That's right. Projection. I'm projecting myself upon that thing. So let's put that aside. But that's it. But the three cardinal sins. Right? Again, the Sfarim say the three cardinal sins all stem from the three cardinal or the three root negative traits, the three root negative traits, which is Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. And this is the greatness of Noah that he rose above these three cardinal sins and the three root traits. And that's what Kina and Taiva Kavod is, and that's what he overcame. So he shielded himself from this. And also, it's interesting. It says that the Zohar says that Noach also, the name Noach is representative of Shabbos. The Zohar says because the pasuk says that his father called him Noach, saying, "This one will give us rest from our work." The origin of the name Noach it means to rest. Noach Menucha. Menucha is what we do on Shabbos. So there's an association between Noach and Shabbos. And the Zohar says very fascinating, amazing thing. It says that the three suitors of Shabbos, the three Shabbos meals correspond to these three traits. They correspond, they remind us of the tremendous success of Noach and the power that he had to rise above the three traits of Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. And not be affected by those three generations. And the three suitors of Shabbos cards. So when you're having your three suitors of Shabbos, each one you can think about, you know, overcoming and trying to rise above. Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, jealousy, desire, and honor. They're the three meals of Shabbos. Right? What was the success of this? What was Noah's success? Eventually his success was we have the Jewish people eventually, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And each one of them. right? Each one of them, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they also embodied not the negative, but the success and overcoming all of these and rising above these three traits. And then the word Shabbos, right? The word, back to the word Shabbos. You take the word Shabbos, Shin, Bas. Shin is the first letter, and Bas means daughter. So Shin, if you look at the letter Shin, it has three arms to it. So the letter Shin symbolizes the three offers, the three patriarchs, from Yitzchak and Yaakov, who each of them respectively embodied the power over those three desires, each one of them respectively, and they radiate into the Bas, into the daughter, who is also described as the Jewish people. Shabbos is the day to Shabbos is a day which is of menucha, of noch, of resting, and resting ourselves from the three desires and the three negative traits which destroy society. That's what Shabbos is. That's just a beautiful little side idea with this whole thing. But Noach, you know, that was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But Noach himself, the righteousness of Noach was he was immune to these three traits. He rose above these three generations. What does the Medrash, how does the Pasuk go on? The Pasuk continues, and the Medrash continues explaining, again, remember now, this chapter in Tehillim, or these first few verses of Tehillim, is a microcosm of Noach's life, of the life of Noach, and his success, and his ability to be able to rise above these three desires. So the Pasuk continues, what does the righteous person, the praiseworthy person do? Kiyim b'toras Hashem chefzo, his whole desire is the Torah. His whole desire is the Torah. Now, if we apply that to Noach, what does it mean? His whole desire is the Torah. Torah hadn't been given yet. How can you say his whole desire was the Torah? But what was given to him was what? The Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, the seven Noahide commandments. So he spent his life and he dedicated himself to the observance and the fulfillment of the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. And that's what's alluded. Kiyim Besuras Hashem Chefzo. His whole desire was the Torah of Hashem, the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Pasuk continues, Ubasarasa Yaga Yom Valaila, and in his Torah, meditating upon it day and night, meditating upon what he knew day and night. Meditation, says the Medrash, is understanding and extrapolating one idea from the other idea. And the Medrash says, Matam Riba Kadosh Baruch, because he said, what's the reason? Why did Hashem tell me to bring more kosher animals into the ark than non-kosher animals? It must be Losha who wrote Salahakriv Ben Karbon, because he wants me to bring a carbon. It's interesting, he wasn't told explicitly to bring a carbon. He extrapolated that, he understood that, he intuited that himself. That's the process of Terasa Yaga Yom Valaila, of meditating in the Torah day and night. He was applying what he knew. You know, we spoke about this last week. It's not just about learning, it's about applying it and thinking about what does Hashem want? What does Hashem mean in this message, in this mitzvah, in this particular halacha? What's the take-home message from it? And that's what he said. He said that he understood, he intuited it. And as a result of this, he took from the kosher animals and the brook sacrifices. Next pasuk, the result is, or such an individual, this praiseworthy individual, the praiseworthy individual that he was, that this person is ke'etz shosol al palgei mayim, the pasuk says in Tehillim. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. This praiseworthy, he's like a tree planted on streams of water. How does that apply to Noah? Because Hashem planted him in the water. He put him inside the teva. He planted him inside the water to save his life. And the result of such an individual who was so dedicated, and someone like Noah, the result is, Ashre asher purio yitin beito. This tree, like this righteous person, like a tree planted on streams of water, its fruit comes out properly in its right time. He blossoms fruit. It blossoms fruit in its right time. Who is that reference to? Asher purio yitin beito. Its fruit it gives in its right time is shame. Now this is the pasuk is now alluding to the three sons of Noach, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. The first one is Shem, Asher Purio Yitim Beito, that this tree, Noach, produces fruit at its right time, a reference to Shem, his son. For Aleo Lo Yibol, and his leaf is does not wither away, is Cham. We'll come back to that in a second. For Kol HaShiyas Yetzlich, and whatever he does, he succeeds and he's successful in whatever he does, is a reference to Yefes. Now, how do these three verses refer to Shem, Cham, and Yefes? So Shem is the Asher Purio Yitim Beito, its fruit, like Priya represents the prime, the fruit of the crop, the fruit, the primary child. And Shem was the primary child because Shem was the ancestor of Avram. The emergence of the Jewish people comes through the line of Shem, not through the other two. So he's called the pre. Ashapiru yitim beito. So Noach's pre is Shem. His leaf doesn't wither away. The leaf, what is the leaf? The leaf protects the fruit. Leaves on a tree protect the fruit. So it says over here, it says, that's a reference to Ham, because Ham's function was that his progeny was enslaved to his brothers, as per Noah's curse later on. Just as a leaf's function is to serve the fruit by protecting it. Although he wasn't as righteous as Shem was, he didn't wither away as his offspring flourished. We have to realize, at the point at which they came out of the ark, there was nothing bad about Shem, Ham, and Yofes. You know, there was a story later on in the parasha about how they uncovered the nakedness of their father. So deviations took place along the way, but initially the intrinsic, you know, kochas, the intrinsic energies of the three of them were positive, and there was a positive application. Shem, Ham, and Yofes. The truth is that there's a beautiful commentary by Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch. Actually, I did bring it over here. I'll put it on the shelf over here, talking about them, about Shem, Ham, and Yofes, and about the traits that they represented. And what they, in a certain sense, contributed to human civilization. So Shem, right, as I said, is the ancestor of the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu comes from Shem. And it's alluded to in his name as well, because the word Shem means, Shem is name, right? A name, the word name, refers to essence, the essence of a thing. So in the name Shem, the person, right, it represents... the power to be able to tap into the essence of things, The word shame, name, also is the same word as the word sham. Sham is sham, shame, same, just a different vowelation. The name of a thing defines what's really there. Sham means there. So in the word shame is the potential for true identification and identity, true meaning and true identity. This is shame. Cham is heat, right? Cham is heat. Right, is lust. It's symbolic of lust. Now, you know, heat is necessary. Lust is necessary. Desire, passion is necessary if it's channeled properly. There's nothing intrinsically bad about these things. Right? So chom is the seed of lust and pleasure. So eventually it becomes manifest, it becomes corrupted. The only one of the three sons that didn't deviate off was Shem. Right? Chom deviated, and also Yefes as well, to a lesser extent. But intrinsically, these names and these people had the potential for greatness in their respective ways. Chom is desire, is passion. Yefes, what's Yefes? Yefes is beauty. Beauty is beauty. So we need beauty. We need aesthetics in the world.
Greece.
Right? That's Greece. That's really well, Greeks. That's what it says. This, it says over here, it says, the stem of Yefes reached its fullest blossoming in Yavin, the Greeks. That of shame in the Hebrews and the Jewish people, but Ham is lust and desire. That's the corruption of those three traits. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, there's nothing bad. So that's why in the Medrash over here, the Medrash is not identifying, you know, negativity in these three sons. It's saying that the Medrash is linking the three sons to these three psukim. Ashapiru yitim beito. The prime of the three is Shem, which is the fruit. That's the first one. Aleyo lo yibol, his leaf doesn't wither away. So it's not a bad thing. It doesn't wither away. It's going to remain there. The leaf of the tree is protecting the fruit. So that's Ham protecting the, you know, serving as a slave, serving the Jewish people. It has potential. For kol ha-shayas yitzliach, whatever he does will be successful. This he doesn't explain as well in the commentary over here, but it's a reference. That's an allusion to the beauty of Yefes, the beauty of the third son. But this is the result. So at least at the beginning, when he comes out of the ark, there's nothing bad about the three sons. This is the dawn of civilization. The dawn of civilization is the what's the dawn of civilization? The overpowering of these three traits. That's what the dawn of civilization is, the overpowering of these three traits. And that's why it's such an inspiring idea, right? That Tehillim begins with this, and Noah begins with this. Bereishis is just the preamble. Noah is now the beginning of civilization, because Noah is the start of the new civilization after the Mabel. And what does the dawn of civilization mean? have to stand upon. It has to stand upon the overpowering and the submission and the suppressing of the three negative traits which result in the three negative sins of the three cardinal sins. And that's how the and that's what the Medrash is teaching us over here. It's a very, very important idea. So let me read what I wrote over here. The take-home message from all of this is Parshas Noach is the dawn of civilization, and it's essential to understand the root drives of human behavior, that if harnessed can be the source of enormous spiritual accomplishments, but if abused, the source of untold destruction and darkness. Three generations precede Noach that each modeled the corruption of the three, of the three of them. But Noach modeled for us how we can rise above them. In it being alluded to in Tehillim, we learn that the way to succeed in this mission is by learning Torah as well as extrapolating from it, as Noach did. This will ensure that we will always remain attached to the pure waters of life, which is Hashem and His Torah, and produce a progeny that embodies this too. That's the Medrash.